Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there we have it. We're back on our radio station, CICK 93.9. And tonight, I have a friend of mine that I used to work with back at Huckleberry, Evan Morrison. Welcome to the show, Evan.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Right on. Yeah. So we're going to try to do a little bit of discussing and figuring out how Evan has got to the Bulkley Valley. And it turns out we try to figure, that's one of our head stories, Evan, is we try to understand why someone would come to this beautiful area and why they haven't left. And the interesting part about your story is you were born here.
I was born, I was born in Prince Rupert.
Okay.
Yeah, and then my family moved around a lot, but after I finished high school, you know, and college a bit in Terrace, and then, you know, I met my wife, and we got married here in 1990, and I've been here ever since.
So, right, yeah. Right. Well, let's just go back a little bit to your birthplace up on the Skeena River. I was up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went up last weekend, Evan, to check out the canneries up there, and I managed to get to the Port Ed Cannery and the Cassiar, but you were born in another cannery.
Yeah, right. The second from the last cannery past Port Ed at Sunnyside Cannery there. Yeah, it's not there anymore.
Most of those canneries seem to have a fire or some way they got rid of everything.
Yeah, that
you
one.
Know,
yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
So your parents worked up there at that time.
Oh yeah, that's where they met. Yeah.
And that's going back there. To the mid 50s.
Oh, late 60s.
Late 60s. Yeah. And so they at the time that was all going on, the cannery world was big.
Oh, yeah, it was huge, yeah. A lot of families from up this way, you know, all the local reserves, and then everybody went down there for work, because there was lots of work in the canneries and fishing on the boats and everything.
Yeah, various ways. So you had you were born right into a little bit of a connection with the fish.
Right over the ocean, believe it or not. Yeah,
That's pretty.
I thought it was a high tide, but my mom told me it was low tide when I was born.
Right.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty cool. So after the cannery work was over sort of in the fall, then your parents would go back to their sort of home place.
Yeah.
And is that how you sort of got to Kitsbeox area?
Yeah, because, you know, the parents, they moved from job to job and, you know, wherever the work was. And plus the old man, you know, my grandparents were in Kitsbeox and they were getting pretty elderly. So
they needed
decided to, you know, to move back and
help them through a little bit.
Yeah,
hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. That sounds good. And so then you ended up growing up in Kitsbeox and
Kitsbeox,
actually going to school.
Hazleton,
yeah. So you got around, like, you did you mainly school in Kitsbeox, or did you go to Hazleton?
Yeah,
too?
Both.
Oh, yeah.
Kitsbeox and Hazleton.
Yeah. And how was that, Ev? How was that work going to school? Did you?
Was it
a good time in your life? Did you feel okay about everything?
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, learned a lot, of course.
Yeah.
The field trips were the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the extracurricular activities, you know, I used to dirt bike a lot when I was a kid and in the summers, and then in the winters I played hockey.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you play in Hazleton?
Yeah, in Hazleton. Yeah. Played all the way through minor hockey.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, gee, that's a long haul. We did that with one of my sons anyways, and we did 12 years of minor hockey at the long haul. But it was pretty fun, and it's great for the kid, you know, all the things that you get to do and learn and whatever.
Yeah.
So what part did you play in hockey? What position?
I played left wing and then left defense.
Oh yeah. You know, you weren't a goalie.
No.
That's another challenging job.
I actually did play one game in Houston. I remember, I forget why, our best player couldn't make it, and then our goalie then was our second best player, so he decided to play, not play goalie that game.
Yeah, right.
They threw me in there. I wasn't very good, but we won the game.
Yeah,
it was like 4-3.
Yeah. That's pretty
everybody
good
could tell I wasn't the goalie.
Yeah. It's a pretty good memory, though, anyways. Yeah. Well, that's funny. Really good. And so as you were working your way through school, did you end up coming to Smithers for high school, or was it all in Hazleton?
All in Hazleton, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool that can come together. And then, so along that sort of line, Ev, you had to, as you were working your way through grade 12, come up with a bit of an idea of what you were going to do for your vocation. Did you have some outlets in Hazleton? Like, did you take any carpentry courses or?
No, not. In high school, no, I didn't. I wasn't in construction or anything. But,
right.
After high school, I didn't get into college right away, but when I did, actually before I did go to college, a relative of mine was actually a heavy-duty mechanic, and he needed help with a job.
Right.
And I wasn't working or doing anything, so he asked me to give him a hand with that. Eh? And then, we just tore apart this old cat, pulled the engine out of it, rebuilt it.
Right.
And then put it back in and fired it up, and it worked.
And it worked, yeah.
And then my cousin, along the way, he was telling me, you should get an apprenticeship
with
heavy-duty mechanics. So he talked me into it, and I said, yeah, sure. And he said, what you're doing right now, that's what you'll be doing, once you get an apprenticeship.
Yeah,
and,
So
I said, yeah. So I did that. I went to college, got my first year in heavy-duty mechanics. Unfortunately, I didn't get an apprenticeship. I didn't get an apprenticeship at all. I didn't go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
But I did find work and just kept working. I worked in the bush, and after I went to college for heavy duty mechanics, and I still was trying for years and years to get an apprenticeship.
Right. And it's not an easy road to follow.
Yeah.
And I was kind of in the same boat. Like when I came up north, I got very lucky because I was made it into Endaco Mines.
Oh, yeah.
In the early 70s. Yeah. And at that time, it was a little different than the period that you were there. There was a lot of work and people were quitting all the time.
Yeah.
So you were able to get into the apprenticeship through the mine, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of worked out well for me. I was very fortunate to
follow
that route. So, Ev, one of the things we do in our show is we like to play some music.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And I did get you to put together a playlist. And
you
so
betcha.
I've got a bunch of songs here that are on your list, and I thought we could maybe start with one. One of my favorites is this Blue Sky and the Painter Bastille.
Bastille, yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to play that on. Can you tell me a little bit about it? How did you come up with it?
I listen to Sirius radio in my car when I'm driving around, and I listen to the Alt Nation,
right.
And that's where I heard that song, and I noticed my taste in music has kind of changed quite a bit.
More
alternative. And then this song came up, and it just really resonated with me. And after I got it and I read the lyrics, and I was like, right on, I love this song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's one of my favorite songs to sing too.
Let's give it a go now,
sure,
and we'll see how it sounds.
Sounds good.
To trace all my lips, do you always run away when it gets wild? Bittersweet, fleeting bliss, I
I guess I haven't felt electric for some time. Feels like a new rush flowering. Oh, like a break in the ice. Felt like the clouds got tired of opening. But oh, I ain't felt light in a while. Is that a blue sky? Is that a blue sky? To desire makes the bass on the page. Cause I ain't nothing without joy and sorrow's fire. Feels like a newborn, new song playing loud. Oh, this bitter peace in my mind. Felt like the stars got bored of coming out. But oh, the last night. Is that a blue sky? Is that a blue sky? It's about down time. Yeah. It's about down time. Is that a blue sky? Is that a blue sky? It's about down time. Yeah. It's about down time. It's about down time. It's about down time. It's about down time. Is that a blue sky? Is that a blue sky? It's about down time. It's about down time. Is that a blue sky? Is that a blue sky?
Now, if the way that song is, the band is called Bastille, and
yeah.
They're actually a British band.
Oh, okay.
And they haven't been going that long.
Yeah.
But they've already sold 10 million records.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a part of that. Sometimes you get it off Spotify, where they give you
okay.
a little bit of their history. You know.
Yeah. About the band.
Yeah, a little bit about the band.
Yeah, because I never. I don't really know anything
no,
about the band.
No,
yeah,
it's very interesting. Yeah. And then, so what I got out of that was that you got your blue sky. It kind of felt to me like it was, you've had your troubles.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're seeing some blue sky.
Some blue sky.
That's
yeah.
how I sort
and
of
then,
felt.
Yeah. And then I'm like, when I was first heard that, I'm thinking, finally. You know,
yeah, finally I can
we got
see
blue
things
sky.
Are getting better.
Yeah.
Because you know? Yeah. We all got problems. We all have troubles in our lives of things that go, you know, don't go awry. And we have to kind of come back from whatever our issues are and keep struggling through.
Yeah,
our challenges, exactly.
Yeah.
So, carrying on now, when you talked about working your way towards the heavy-duty mechanic, you had somehow you'd picked up some work as a truck driver.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I went from the bush, and then I got into the sawmills. Well, there was a secondary mill out at Whitsett. And then, you know, I was looking for other work because I didn't, you know, I could see where the lumber industry was going back then.
Yeah,
right? So,
yeah.
I was always looking for other work. And then that's, you know, the one day, I like fishing on a river too. Eh? It's just, you know, it's so peaceful on a river. I don't care if I catch fish or nothing, you know.
Right, right.
It's just the energy at the river is so peaceful and healing, you know. That's kind of like my...
Your go-to place.
Yeah,
yeah. And the water moving.
Oh, yeah, the sounds. Yeah, the smells. And so anyways, I was having a really bad day at work. I had a really bad day. I don't want to get into that now. But anyways, I come home and I was still in a really bad mood. And, you know, my wife could see something was wrong. Eh? And I had my fishing gear at the door. And I said, you know, I'm going to go. I got to calm down. You know, I'm going to go try and calm down at the river. And so I grabbed my gear and went out there. And I seen this guy was in my spot. This is a really cool story. Like over the years, I knew I had a bad attitude, right? And I knew it wasn't getting me anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So I read a lot of self-help books and stuff like that. And this one book that I just remember this one thing was always be nice to strangers because one day one of them is going to change your life. And unbeknownst to me, that day when I went out to the river, you know, I was in a pretty bad mood.
Yeah.
And my favorite fishing spot, this guy was there. And my first thought was like,
hey,
that's my spot.
Get off
my spot. And I said, oh, that's all right. There's lots of places to go fishing. So I went downriver and I started fishing and I caught a whole bunch. I can't remember how much fish.
Right.
Pinks were running.
They
easy to catch.
Right.
I kept looking up at that guy and I noticed he wasn't catching anything. So I was starting to leave and then... I decided to go just
chat with him.
Yeah. And then we're talking fishing and stuff, and he showed me what he was using. And, you know, I don't know why he wasn't catching anything. My brother uses the same thing and just nails them all the time. So anyways, we're talking about he was asking what kind of work I did, and I told him what I did. I was in quality control at a local place there, and I told him I was thinking of going back to school and getting into the mining industry. Then his eyes perked up and he really started asking questions, like one right after another.
Yeah,
like, would you take a camp job? How would your family feel about it? Do you have little ones? And he was going on and on. And I said, yeah, sure. I I'd really like to get into the mining industry. And I told him, but I want to go back to school. And he said, you know what? I like your attitude. He says to me, I said, I want to see your resume on my desk Monday morning. And then I was a little bit shocked and I was thinking back. And then he tells me it was Brian Deagle.
Right.
He says, I'm general foreman of Huckleberry. I want you to come work for me. He says,
wow.
And I was a little shocked. I thought he was joking, you know, but he was serious. And so he changed names or numbers and I gave him information and I eventually got hired on up there. And that was the thing.
That was a turning moment.
Yeah. It was this guy, I seen him, but I thought, you know, I don't want, you know, do you think if I showed him a bad attitude, he'd want me to go to
work? Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But he was the guy that changed my life. Eh?
Isn't how things turn out?
Yeah.
It really is a complete amazing thing.
A struggle. You know, and then when I started mining, you know, you get the extra money and, you know, it could help people out too.
Yeah.
Like helping out my father-in-law and my parents too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they helped us out
lots along too. The way. And exactly.
I just wanted to return the favor. And after I started mining, I was able to do that too.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty
because, cool. Yeah, because they were, once they got out, you know, they're elderly and they're not working, of course, the income
is down.
Yeah. So I was able to, you know, keep helping them financially.
No, that sounds really good. So you must have started out then as a truck driver.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was and then along the way, like not everybody wants to stay driving truck. They have other ambitions or whatever.
Yeah, they want to do.
You saw something that you liked to do and felt a certain amount of contentment.
I still really enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a long day yet, you know.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's 12 hours a day, I've had 8-hour jobs that felt like 12 hours, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But trucking, I love it, you know.
Yeah.
It's everything about it, you know, and the people I work with, the crew I work with now, and the people I've worked with over the years, and trained with. You know, yeah. I've learned something from everybody that I've trained.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just, with me, the training went both ways. I didn't just, you know,
take.
Say it's my way or the highway yeah. type thing. You yeah. Because even all the working at Huckleberry, all the summer students that I work with and train with up there too, you know, and they're just, I call them young, bright kids, young adults,
yeah.
you know, they're, and they've taught me some things too. So
certainly.
So, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that was always nice working with the summer students. And
it's pretty cool set up yeah. there. I don't remember if you recall when we started the newspaper up there, the Huckleberry Hound. Did you ever see that thing, Ev?
I did, yeah. I was and up there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a few copies of
yeah,
those.
Yeah, it was yeah. kind of
that was a cool
fun
idea.
To kind of get some ideas from people why they're working there and, you know,
yeah.
what's going on with the mine and so on. It was kind of a fun little setup there, right?
Yeah.
And we named it after Huckleberry Hound. He was the guy back in the day, before your time probably, where he was on cartoons.
Oh,
and there
okay.
was Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other guy was the Huckleberry Hound.
Huckleberry Hound.
And he was traveled around and tried different jobs all the time. That's
oh,
how he got
okay.
got himself famous. Anyways, yeah. Okay, well, that sounds like we're at a good spot. Let's try another song, okay?
Sure, sure.
So I've got another one here now. It's called High in Low Places.
Oh, yeah. This song, I like this song. Because, you know, just the title of it says, like being high. Like, I don't drink, I don't do drugs or anything. It's not about being high, like...
Through that.
Through that.
Yeah. But
to me,
yeah.
it was like raising my vibration.
Right.
To be high. And then, you know how oftentimes people find themselves in, like, a crabs in the bucket situation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a low vibe situation. So... It's this kind of about me keeping my vibe and emotion high
yeah, yeah.
amongst crabs in the bucket.
Yeah, 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 I mean? Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So
well, it's like when you go down to the
like
river.
Kind of like a rose in the onion patch.
Yeah, 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 yeah. When you go down to the river, you just naturally become high.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's not
the
it's
energy
not
there
induced high. It's just the natural surroundings that give us that feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, let's see what
sure.
This sounds like here. This is the group is called Beach Weather.
Yeah, Beach Weather.
Me and you are fireproof. Always try to blame my youth. I just wanna to the end of time, 'cause I could see infinity in your eyes, in your eyes. You and I got some troubles we're facing. I know we can make it, staying high in low places. Never mind all the tears that we wasted. I know we can make it, staying high in low places. To a MIA, stuck inside a desert haze. I just wanna slip away. Neon nights, we're never gonna get this right. But I can see infinity in your eyes, in your eyes. You and I got some troubles we're facing. I know we can make it, staying high. I know we can make it.
high and low places, and we can make it.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a three-piece alt band, and they put their their debut album came out in 2023. Which is
just a couple of years ago,
called Pineapple Sunrise.
Yeah,
and they were a big instant hit.
And, oh, right on!
And they claimed to be music. They had music for everyone. So it was kind of interesting. So, you've got a fairly good connection to music yourself. Like, did you have music in the family when you grew up? Like,
you bet! Like, yeah, right from. Yeah, my grandfather and my uncles had a band on my mom's side.
Right, right.
Yeah, just even before I went to school, like kindergarten, I remember going to Christmas concerts and, you know, my grandparents and relatives would all be there and you know, my uncles and my grandfather would be playing Christmas songs
on
stage. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it does
kind of osmosisly get into you where you have a feeling, a little connection with music. It's pretty important stuff.
For sure.
So did you ever play anything yourself, Ed?
Just drums. I never played in a band.
Right.
When actually that same band, my uncle was a drummer in a band, and when we were kids, I was, I don't know, grade 3 or 4 around there, something like that. My uncle borrowed some money off my mom. So my uncle gave my mom his drum kit as collateral.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. So we kept this drum kit. Me and my brother would play along.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I would play along, try and play with AC/DC or Nazareth, something
right,
like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so that was
sort of an introduction for you, an opportunity. That's pretty cool. Mm. Now, Ev, in that, where you're at in the Hazleton Kispiox is also a pretty good connection to art. Like, did you have any people that you knew that were doing artwork or?
A lot of my friends that I went to high school with, that they were carvers then,
right?
And they're still carvers now, only they carve jewelry now. So
they've been doing that
all these years, and they're really good at it too.
Yeah,
you know, I was never into art or anything. I mean, like I wasn't artistic.
Yeah,
but a lot of my friends that I went to high school with there, and you know, I'd see some of their drawings and or their native artwork that they have now, and I'm just like, wow, that's amazing.
Beautiful, you know,
some of the drawings and.
Yeah.
And not just native art, too, all kinds of art.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, that's pretty cool. So that gives you a sort of a feeling. Like, I have this feeling myself where when I see something, my own perception of it can see it somewhat artistically, you know, and I kind of like that part of looking at something. I try to do a little bit of art with my camera.
Oh, yeah.
And if I can find a good, you know, a good picture.
Yeah, that's what I always do, too.
That feels pretty good on that.
If I could see something on my walk or something that would look like a really cool picture, I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Ev, we're kind of reaching the midway point of our show.
Yeah.
And at this moment, we always like to reintroduce ourselves, our station identification.
Yeah.
And this is... As everyone is aware, it's Smithers Community Radio, and we call ourselves CICK, and we're at 93.9 on your FM dial. We also take this opportunity to put a thank you shout out to our sponsors. And so I've got the radio station itself is an all-volunteer run organization, so we don't have a lot of... financial backing, so we're always appreciative of our sponsors. So I'll give a little shout out to the sponsors I've got in my lineup here. I've got Accounting on Broadway, I've got Bugwood Bean, and I've got Phoenix Self Care Studio, and I also have Ranch House Tattoo. And I would also like to throw a thank you out to Out of Hand. So that sets us up for the second half, Ev. And I just want to let everyone, all our listeners, know that my name is Thomas Tom Roper, and our show is On the Ropes. And tonight we have a friend of mine from Huckleberry Mines, Evan Morrison. And I called him Mine Worker Stargazer. Yeah, now, yeah. I've never, I just kind of came up with that idea.
Yeah, that's cool.
I've seen you have a few posts on Facebook you've got some planets and stars that you're aware of.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I was always interested in stargazing. You know, from when I was a little kid, the one thing that happened that really stands out in my mind is, you know, I was about, I don't know, maybe 12, 13, and it was August, and some of my relatives came up from down south to visit, and that night we were stayed up really late, and we noticed that there was an incredible amount of shooting stars that night.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't go inside. We were outside all night. Yeah. So we decided we're going to grab all our pillows and sleeping bags, and then we just threw them in the back of our pickup truck and made this big nest for all us kids in the back of the truck. And that's what we did all night. We just stayed up watching the sky, seeing all these, you know, there were so many, we lost count of how many shooting stars there were that night.
It was just amazing.
I just remember it was really spectacular, and I haven't seen a meteor shower that spectacular since then. You know, there's usually a number of meteor showers throughout the year, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So I had a couple of experiences too, Ev. The one that I always remember was we climbed up Morris Mountain, and that night there was a red borealis.
Oh,
across the whole country, and we were right in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And it just really was an amazing evening. But I didn't find myself being completely attracted to astronomy. But have kind of found that avenue. It's something that you really liked, and you've been sort of exploring it and learning more about it.
Oh, yeah.
So your opportunity now, like when you're working and you're in a mine that's not downtown Smithers, there's no light pollution.
Yeah.
That you get these beautiful dark nights where you can see the Milky Way.
Oh, you can see it nice and clear.
Just amazing. And it does kind of, it's kind of doing something to you. It's making you more interested.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. On nights like that, I'll just pull over on my break, and then, you know, I'll stand out on the deck of my truck and just stare at the sky for a half hour.
Yeah.
And
then, so is there something that you have, Ev, that can give you information of which star is which planet is which?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have an app. I have a couple, I have three apps on my phone that show all the planets, the constellations, and the different galaxies that are out there. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it has, I can get notifications for, you know, it tracks the satellites. It'll track the ISS, and it'll give you a notification when it's passing over.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then all the events, it tracks all the, you know, the full moons of the year.
Right.
And other events like the meteor showers, and, you know, all the conjunctions, you know, when the planets and
line up.
Yeah, when they line up or cross or seem to cross, you know, there'll be notifications.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What is that site called, Evazu? Is that something?
Oh, the one I use is, the app is called Sky Guide.
Sky Guide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, you've seen the pictures I take too. Yeah. I can take daytime pictures. That's what I like about it too, because I always looked up in the sky during the day, and I was always, there's got to be something up there.
Yeah.
There's still stars. There's still planets up there during the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to know which ones during the day, and that app shows that perfectly.
That is so cool.
So that's why I always, you know, take those pictures during the day.
I would never even think of that, of taking pictures in the day, because when I look up, I don't see anything other than the sun and whatever.
Blue sky.
Yeah, blue sky.
Yeah. I always wondered why the sky was blue too, and I found out just recently too.
Yeah.
And then I always wondered why the sky is red when the sun comes up or sun goes down. And I finally found that out too. It's because the sun is actually not yellow. In space, it's white. But when the sun rays hit the Earth because of the atmosphere, it splits up the different
color patterns.
Yeah, the wavelengths. And the blue is apparently the shortest wavelength. So it gets split up first. So that's why during the daytime, it looks like the sky is blue.
Right.
So when the sun's going down or coming up, you know, sunrise and sunset, when the sky is red, the red light, the sunlight's being filtered through more atmosphere and it's looking more red and orange.
That's
why it looks that way.
It changed that color.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. There's so much to learn all the time, isn't there? There's no end to that. Eh?
Yeah.
Well, let's play another song.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
So I got
Which one's this one?
You called me the other day and you wanted to add in this song, Under Heaven's Skies.
The band is called
Collective Soul.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they've been around for quite a long time.
Oh,
They've done a lot of song work. So is there something about this song? Does it feel good in your soul or does it...
It makes me feel good. And with this song, I kind of feel a happy sadness sort of thing. It's kind of like what could have been.
Yeah.
But it's just this song actually just really pulls my heartstrings. Just thinking about
All the things that we, you know, that could have been, they went a different route. And then we wouldn't have saw or done what we've done now. Like it's an interesting relationship that we have, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Okay, well, let's give this one a go.
So sure, you bet.
See if we get it.
Whenever I taste honey from your lips, it's a moment of purpose only you can give. Whatever I hear, whatever I may see, whatever my cause, dear, I know you'll believe. Under heaven.
That's a pretty song.
Yeah.
Real nice. Isn't it? It's all of these songs, you can get emotion wrapped into them too.
Oh, yeah.
To keep it, to give it a reason to make sure it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you were mentioning you have a son.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you have any more children?
I do. Yeah, I have a daughter with my my first ex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is she around the valley?
No. No, she lives in Terrace, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. And your son, you were saying, is living in Whitsett.
That's right, yeah.
He's also in a band, so he's kind of taking a bit of music from you or from the family?
Yeah. He was always in the music, yeah. Yeah, his band's the Infirmary.
Infirmary,
good
okay.
Band. Yeah, a right. Local band. Yeah.
Right. And what instrument does he play?
He plays all the instruments, but his favorite is bass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, he likes playing bass.
Right on. That sounds good. And so they've been getting some work. Does he do it as a job, or is he doing it as just a sideline?
I'm not sure. Just as a sideline, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's pretty.
Yeah, they play a lot of shows, apparently.
But a lot of times they don't get paid. You know, it's kind of fortunate. There's a lot of volunteering there. You know? Yeah. So, but anyways, that's good. So he, you bump into him now and then. And the thing I was going to ask you about, you mentioned to me, Ev, that you wanted to sing a song, one of the songs that we have.
Oh, yeah, one of the ones we're playing. No, I can't do that now.
It just didn't come together, and that's okay. But have you got inspiration or aspirations to become a karaoke singer?
No, not yet.
No. Because I've got, like, they're doing karaoke at the Legion on Friday nights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would be kind of fun to go down and see how that
goes. Yeah, I wouldn't mind trying one of these songs here, and, I might build up the courage.
There's definitely a certain amount of courage.
One of those songs out.
I
can, you know, I'm good in the shower. I can sing really good loud in the shower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In front of an audience.
It's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's a whole different
story. Yeah, I found that too. I started playing the ukulele, and it's much easier to play it in my little closet studio than it is to go on stage. I've been on stage a few times, but there's a certain challenge to it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's just like with me and drumming too. You know, I can play with myself, but I've never played for anybody. You know, or with even I did with my mom in the room and my parents, but never an audience.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we should see if we can squeeze another song in here. We've got our Canadian content. Out of that, we try to get one song out of the four, and you've chosen Rush.
Rush, yeah.
It's a pretty inspirational song also, Time Stands Still.
Yeah.
Is there anything about that song that kind of gets to you one way or the other?
Almost like one of those life flashes before your eyes sort of thing. You know, it just kind of brings up memories of my teen years in high school and college and then working and then right up to now.
Yeah.
Just how...
It's sort of a time progression.
Yeah.
Through there. Well, let's see how it sounds.
Sure.
So if we go here on our... This is on our Spotify site, and we set up a playlist for each interviewee. So there it is. That's the what they call the Canadian Classic Band.
Mm-hmm.
They have been
Rush.
Together for over four decades.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Just an amazing
pretty
band.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention the vocalist Geddy Lee.
Yeah,
and the guitarist Alex Lifeson, and the drummer Neil Peart.
Yeah. Late drummer.
Late drummer, he passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But they put together some very, very amazing music.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So have you got a little connection with them? Have you been to see them?
Yes, I wanted to touch on that a bit. Yeah, their last tour, I was fortunate enough to see them live.
Right.
And a bit of history on, I never was a fan of Rush, really, in high school.
Right.
Just listening to their music, I wasn't really into it. I was more into AC/DC.
Right.
In high school. But years later, you know, when my son started his band and he started developing his musical interest, he was into Rush quite a bit.
Right.
And then he was the one who kind of
turned you on a bit too.
To Rush. And then I had another listen to that, and I just, I guess I listened to it with a different ear, and I was like, hey, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
And then my son told me that they were coming to Vancouver. So, and it just worked out really good on all our days off. So we got tickets and we went.
Perfect.
On their last tour. And it was different. The crowd was completely different. The Rush crowd is not like any other crowd out there.
Right, you know, right.
It's pretty cool. And when we went to the show, me and my son were talking. We were wondering which section would be the air drumming section.
Right, right.
When Tom Sawyer comes on, the song Tom Sawyer is supposed to be like the most air drummed song out there, I guess.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
So anyways, when they did play that song, we were looking around and almost everybody in our section was playing air drums to Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, that's pretty really cool.
And another cool thing that happened at that concert, we where the stage was, and we were like two or three sections out, and we had a clear view of the stage, and then straight across from us, through the whole show, there was this kid there, and he was playing air guitar
right.
almost every song.
Wow!
And then partway through the show, Alex Lifeson kind of notices, and Alex Lifeson's playing the guitar, and then he walks up right to the edge of the stage and leans way over towards that kid and points at that kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kid just went bonkers air guitar. Yeah. He was going crazy. And the crowd kind of went nuts over too because he could see this going on. And we were like, right on.
It was a good time.
Yeah, because I could really see, you know, Alex really made that kid's night.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
night. Yeah.
And it was great for you to be out with your son. As a father-son situation, it can't get any better.
No, yeah, that was a good time. Yeah. I'm glad I got to see him because I didn't know Neil Peart would
pass away. Which was very shortly after
that. Not long after that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we've covered quite a few areas in your life and just trying to figure out a little bit more about you and how things are going. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about my connection with you at Huckleberry when I met you. And I thought you were kind of a conscientious guy. And I always was happy, me being a mechanic, that you kind of had a bit of respect for your equipment that you were driving.
Oh, yeah.
And we always really appreciated that, you know, rather than ramrod it and break it.
Yeah.
And then we got to spend a lot of time and money fixing it.
I see that. Yeah. I see that a lot. And there's a high level of safety that goes along with that.
Yeah.
About taking care of the equipment and taking care of your truck. And I talk to new drivers now too on my crew, and I always tell them, you know, take care of your truck.
Yeah.
Don't pound the crap out of it. Don't, you know, it's not a racing machine.
No.
They do break.
Yeah.
And if they've seen some of the pictures that I've seen of these trucks when they're wrecked, they'd take better care of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because when you're pounding the crap out of them, you know, if you're lucky, that truck won't break on you. But guess what? You're leaving a time bomb for the next driver that gets on there. And he's got family waiting, or she's got family waiting for them to come home too.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Don't beat up the equipment.
It's just not something that's worthwhile.
It's not safe.
So when when Huckleberry shut down, I was able to get 12 years out of there. I was pretty happy with that. And then it happened right on at my retirement.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to transition from there into my other choices of things I wanted to do. But in your case, you needed to get another job.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did that go? Was there a period where you were out of work, or were you able to move along pretty smoothly?
Yeah, it was when Huckleberry closed down, it was kind of a blessing in disguise there.
Yeah.
That year, the beginning of that year, my mom was diagnosed with cancer that year. So during that year, because of all my holidays and seniority, I used up all my holidays. And each time I went down, you know, my mom was having surgery in Vancouver General or Burnaby or wherever. And I was able to be there with her. And then after they shut down and we got laid off, you know, I was able to spend more time.
That worked out well.
Oh, yeah, it worked out. It worked out perfect.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
You know, it was sad, sure. But one thing, you know, I got into training, you know, I went back to school and I got my dogwood.
Okay.
Finally, so that
okay.
was a good
thing. That was yeah. good. Yeah.
That was always a goal of mine.
Yeah.
yeah. It wasn't easy. I struggled with it.
Yeah.
But I did it, and I got way better grades than I did in
when you were in school,
high school.
Yeah. yeah. Exactly.
Because the program was set up differently.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, that's the.
So
that's,
it was a good period of time for you.
Yeah.
And there was a good break there between jobs before you
because I was off work 9 months before right. I got hired up at Red Chris.
And so you didn't go to Milligan?
No.
Okay, no. I thought I'd heard that you went down there first.
No.
But you went to Red Chris?
Yeah, Red Chris.
So how do you like that job? Do you have to fly there?
Yeah, we fly up to Dease Lake and then bus into the site.
And how does that go in bad weather?
Sometimes we bus all the way to the site. Yeah, it's a 7-hour bus ride trip. Yeah. And then, you know, either way, out to camp or back to Smithers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a really great flyer, so I never really liked that type of arrangement I had to fly. I much prefer to drive.
Yeah.
And I really liked the setup at Huckleberry where it was one week on and 1 week off.
Yeah, a lot of guys like that. I like that too.
And now, but you're in a different schedule.
Different situation, yeah. 2 weeks.
So how does it look up there for the job carrying on? Has it got a few more years left?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm just going to stick it out there and then, you know, just give her...
Keep her going right till the end.
Keep going right till the end, see what happens.
Sounds
if
good.
If comes up.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got yourself, you have your hobbies, you've got your fishing,
stargazing,
you've got your family, and you've got music. It sounds to me like you've got a pretty good life around yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm always busy and looking forward to
doing things.
Stuff,
yeah, and work is coming. You're able to do the job, come home, have other things to do to keep yourself out of trouble.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
I'm always busy.
I always got something to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people always ask me, or I'll tell them what I'm doing, and they think it sounds boring, or don't you ever get bored? And I thought about that for the longest time, and I don't think I've been bored since I've been in my early 30s.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think I always used boredom to try and create something or reflect or, you know.
It's part of life. It's finding things to enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great thing that you have that ability to do that. Because I remember this guy I met a little while back. He was about 85. And he said to me a couple of times, you know, I've just got nothing to do. And I'm kind of thinking, like, that's not really needed. You know, there's so many things going around you that you can figure out things to do if you've got the ambition to kind of do that. You know what I mean? Even this stargazing that you're doing, it's a massive doctrine of all these things that you could learn. And it just goes on from there. There's all the things about aliens and there's all the things, you know, there's so many different routes that a person can take, you know, it's crazy.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, Ev, I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you and figuring a little bit more about you. And so we're getting to our conclusion, and it's been a real pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, listening to your stories, and we've had really enjoyed talking about the songs that we've been able to play.
Yeah.
And so we're getting to our closing moments now. So I just pump up this. If I can find my little section, it looks like I can't. Oh, here we are. And we got her over here. And we're going to close ourselves out with our outro. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, you betcha.
All right. Thanks very much for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks, Tom.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side. You have been listening.
Let's get that off there and...